Just down from the Glencoe Mansion Museum, where the New River meets the Norfolk Southern train line, is a densely wooded footpath. There's a bronze statue on the trail of pioneer Mary Draper Engels, as if returning from her storied kidnapping and heroic trek home from Indian lands. About 100 yards from Mary, a unique observation deck is nearing completion. Kay Edge teaches in the School of Architecture at Virginia Tech. Last spring, she and grad students in her design studio began working on this viewing platform project, perched high above the tracks, now nearing completion.
He's adding the last structural column that is going to hold up the box out there.
Kurt Helker just graduated with a master's in architecture.
I'm basically leveling out the steel for the columns to rest on top of. And you got to make sure it's all flush relative to each other. That way, the building, once it's 15 feet high, we don't have any surprises of it not being level once we get up there.
The columns support a structure that looks like an exploded view of a boxcar, with what appear to be huge butcher block-like panels defining the space. Holes randomly drilled into the 12-foot-tall, 5-inch-thick CLT slabs to create dappled light.
It sits in this forested setting, so you really get a connection between the wood we're using in the project and the forest around it.
Tom Hammond is professor of sustainability in Virginia Tech's College of Natural Resources.
Much of the land in Virginia that was once deforested is now forested. Some of the agricultural areas have been reforested, and we have a very healthy timber resource, and so we're looking for markets for that timber resource.
The wood they're using to make CLTs is the ubiquitous yellow poplar, also known as the tulip poplar for its showy orange and yellow flowers in spring. They're considered hardwoods, though they're not quite hard enough in their raw form, and there's no industry demand for them. But with the CLT process, where they're cut into sections and bonded into large, thick pieces, their strength is competitive with steel and just half the weight. And unlike steel that has to be processed in high temperatures, the raw material for cross-laminated timber literally grows on trees.
You're using less fossil fuel, producing less carbon than you would for steel. And the other thing is you're locking up carbon in the product. That's an advantage as well.
Yellow poplar can grow to reach nearly 200 feet. They self-seed and multiply quickly. And if they're not repurposed, like any tree, they just die and decay, emitting carbon as they do. But when they're used for a project like this, instead they're varnished and preserved. CLTs, also known as mass timber, can be prefabricated off-site and assembled with basic power tools on-site. Kay Edge says the relative ease of construction is a big plus.
My perspective as an architect, it goes together quickly,
yep,
and it doesn't require specialized labor, so it cuts down on construction costs.
Still little known in this country, buildings made with CLTs have been on the rise overseas for years, literally, some reaching 18 stories and heading higher. And because of their ability to withstand shaking during earthquakes, thousands of them have been built in Italy. And recently, a few manufacturers have opened in the U.S.
Building code is catching up with this material.
Yeah.
I think it was first in the building code in 2015, and now the building code that will come out in 2021 would allow for an 18-story building.
Again, Tom Hammett.
Because of its site, because of its nature, it will exhibit not only the quality and the visual effects of using wood, but also the potential for using wood in structures.
Now they're just waiting on a highway permit for the second part of the structure to be lifted into place with a crane, giving people a bird's eye view of the tracks and giving birds a larger audience. The area is considered a flyway, and the observation platform is wheelchair accessible from UNRWA Drive. I'm Robbie Harris.